I love the book of Psalms. It certainly contains every emotion that the human mind is capable of. It brings many different circumstances before us, but in every single psalm, there is instruction for the child of God. And I encourage you to make it a part of your daily reading, no matter how you're reading through the Bible, that you open the Psalms, and there you'll find a wonderful blessing for your soul. The first psalm commences with the word blessed. It is a plural word in Hebrew. It means happinesses, many happinesses. It's talking about true joy. Now, everybody is searching for joy. Everybody is searching for happiness and contentment in life. Many businesses are set up promoting their product, promising people that if you buy into this, you'll be happy and you'll be content. We've homes that are filled with things that we thought if we bought them would have brought us contentment, but they're just simply cupboard fillers now, and we still sought on. But praise God for the joy that the Christian has in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we find the secret of continuing joy in the Christian life. Verse number 1 says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Here in verse 1, we have the wisdom of the godly man. You see, if you're to know God's blessing and to enjoy your salvation, there are certain things you cannot do as a child of God, that you must not do as a child of God. And there are three things here. And I want us to look at them for a few moments. First thing is this: we are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, the word walk in Scripture, and specifically in the Psalms, it is figurative. It is speaking of journeying through life. It's speaking of a way of life, the way you live your life. How do you walk? Well, we are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The word counsel comes from a word meaning advice. And you know, there's so much advice being given in this world today, and it's not all good advice. And we are warned that we are not to live our lives according to the advice or the counsel of the ungodly. And it literally means those who are wrong, morally wrong. It means those who are condemned, those who are guilty, those who are wicked, those who are not saved. Now, why should we not listen and live our lives by the wisdom or the counsel of the unsaved? Because they do not have the correct focus. They do not have the correct source that makes it possible for them to be profitable and to encourage believers like you and me to walk in a godly manner. If you follow the advice of the wicked, you will not walk after God. You will not be in the prayer meeting. You will not seek to win others for the Lord. I think of those words in Psalm 15, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" That's talking about fellowship with God. He will have that closeness with the Lord. "He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart." So you and I are not to live lives like the ungodly. We are to be different. Now the world has advice on how to live your life. And it tells us, and there's so many voices coming at us today, how to raise our children, how to have a good marriage, how to be successful, how to be happy, all of these things. But here we come to the Word of God, which tells us about true joy, lasting eternal purpose, and the work of God that will abide forever. If you want to know how to please God, if you want to know how to live close to the Lord, if you want to know how to be more Christ-like, you need to come to this book. You don't need to go to some bookstore to find a book that tells you. Come to the Word of God. God has declared how we are to have joy as believers. One Bible commentator said, "The godly man does not follow the advice of sinners. He does not execute the purposes or the plans of sinners, and he does not frame his life according to their views and suggestions. So many people today, so many groups today are promoting their ideologies, promoting their immorality, promoting their sin, promoting their murder, all of those things. And they tell us that if we're going to be good citizens, if we're going to be those who care for others, that we will buy into this. No. We have a higher authority. We follow the word of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His word is final. So we are not to live our lives by the counsel of the ungodly. Secondly, we are not to stand in the way of sinners. Now, it means literally to stand. That's what it means. But figuratively, it means to abide, or to continue, or to dwell. The way means a road. So we are not to stand in the road or in the course of life of sinners. And again, that's those who are guilty, those who are offenders, those who are sinful. And here we have a further thought. Sometimes, instead of listening to the counsel of the ungodly and taking their advice, here we have an example of someone who is now standing in the way of sinners. He makes them his company. He has a desire to be found in their way. He desires to dwell with them, to live after their manner. Now remember, you cannot be a friend of God if you're a friend of the world. You can't have a foot in both camps. You can't please the ungodly and seek to please the Lord. Remember, the blessed man is the one who does not do these things. Now, that's not to say that we do not have friends that are not believers. Of course not. That's not what it's talking about at all. But it's talking about that desire to be where the ungodly are, in the places where they are, doing the activities where they are. Thirdly, we are not to sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, the word sit, it means to sit down, it means to dwell. It is the idea of continuing a long time. In fact, it's translated in other parts of the scripture as the word marry, to marry a husband and a wife. Now, the word seat simply means a dwelling place. And then it talks about the scornful. It means properly to scoff, to have in derision, or to mock. What a sad thing it would be if a Christian desired to remain for long periods of time in the company of those who are mockers of the things of God. Friend, that will bring absolutely no blessing to your soul. If you're walking with the Lord, it will grieve your heart. And if you're careless, it'll not be long before you're doing the very same things as those around you. Somebody once said, if you want to know what you're going to be like in 5 years' time, look at your closest friends. Because those with whom you associate are those like whom you will become. Do you notice the slowing down and the hindrance of the man who starts to take his counsel from the world? He says, walk not, then stand not, then sit. Do you see the downward trend? Somebody's walking. Now all of a sudden they've stopped, they're standing. And now all of a sudden they're sitting. Scripture compels the people of God to go forward, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth onto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. We are to walk. We are to walk with the Lord. We are to go forward with God. We are to strive after the things of God. Notice the actions that are mentioned here. The counsel of the ungodly. The way of sinners. The seat of the scornful. When we take our eyes off the Lord, we start listening to the world, then we will be found in the ways and the practices in the world. And this is a downward progression. Notice, we are to avoid the counsel of the ungodly and the way of the sinners and the seat of the scornful. You know, this reminds me of Peter. Peter was very impetuous, and Peter was one who said that he was going to follow the Lord no matter where he went. He would even die for the Lord. But you know what we find Peter doing after the Lord's arrest? In Luke 22:54, we find Peter followed them afar off. And then in Luke 22:55, what's Peter doing? He's sitting down among the ungodly. And then Mark's gospel tells us in chapter 14, 69 to 71, he begins to curse and to swear and to deny being a disciple. How quickly one sin leads to another. How quickly a man or a woman of God can be found in open rebellion to God. This is why Scripture is declaring at the very outset of this book of Psalms that we are to be wise and we are to follow the counsel of God. We need to watch the little things in our lives for sin to get a foothold. Don't you think there's a sin that's too small for you to be concerned about? Don't think there's an area of your life that you don't need to be overly concerned about. Song of Solomon says, take us the foxes, the little foxes. Spoil the vines. Whatever you struggle with, whatever sin doth so easily beset, whatever it is you're dealing with, bring it to the Lord for victory. Friend, make your close companions those who are godly. I can't emphasize how important this is. I do not understand how someone says they're saved and they're walking with the Lord, but they never come to the house of God. They never have fellowship with God's people. They never enjoy gathering together where the Lord has commanded us to, and we know there's a blessing. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man the countenance of his friend. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And therefore, this passage points us to a wise, true, faithful, godly, and holy friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1, we have the wisdom of the godly man. Verse number 2, we have the purpose of the godly man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Someone who is meditating day and night in the Scripture, essentially considering, thinking, and delighting in that word, will continually see Christ, will continually walk with Christ, because the Scripture is all about Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it is a revelation of the Savior to man. And as we walk with him in his word, we will be like him. The word of God is a pleasure to God's people. The word of God is a blessing to God's people. We think of those times we were absolutely gripped with fear, but then we opened the word and God spoke to us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We find that whenever we're walking with the Lord and his word, there'll be times the Lord highlights something in our lives that is wrong. And let me tell you, that's as big a blessing as those verses of promise, because we get to repent of that, put it under the blood, and walk forward in obedience. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. A man can only glorify God whenever he reflects God in his life, when he walks in obedience to him, when something of Christ is seen in him. Only then can a man or a woman bring glory to the name of the Lord, when they're in the paths of righteousness, when they're people of the book, when they're people of prayer. And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You can glorify God today. Whether it's 1 week, 1 month, or 50 years, you can glorify God now. Remember someone once saying, when does a candle start to burn bright? The moment it's lit. Friend, from the moment you're saved, you ought to have a desire to live a life that brings glory to the Lord. Do you notice it says day and night? Day and night. In other words, at all times. God's word should guide you. What you read in the morning should give you food for thought through the day. What you read at night should be a blessing to your heart as you lay your head upon the pillow. Whether at work or at home, you can ponder upon the word. And this will be your rule of faith and direction. But notice then, thirdly, the evidences of the godly man. The evidences of the godly man. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We see some things here that are evidences of those who are walking with the Lord. Number one, there's stability. And that's in the imagery of the tree planted by the rivers of water. It has deep roots. Because it's by the rivers, it's got a continual supply of life-giving water. When the winds of adversity blow, that tree won't be moved. Oh, it may sway a little, but it will not be moved because its roots are firmly planted. Listen to these words in Jeremiah 17. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the water, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We will face the winds of trouble and sorrow, winds of doctrine, false doctrine will blow from time to time, false teaching coming. Yet those who are grounded in Christ and in the word of God will not be moved. It's a dangerous thing to close the book, to forget the book. Friend, if you want to be strong, and may God give us all that desire to be as faithful and strong as we can be, you cannot do it outside of the word of God and prayer. Not only will there be stability in the godly man, but there will be fruitfulness. He will bring forth his fruit in his season. God made us to be fruitful people. We are to bear fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I wonder, have we ever gone out to do something without the Lord? What do I mean by that? Have you ever gone out in outreach without praying? Have you ever gone into a Sunday school class without preparing your heart? Have you ever tried to witness to someone at work without taking it to the Lord? You see, it is only through Christ we can be fruitful. What fruit are we to bring forth? Of course, that is Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. There's also fruit in soul winning as well. Every believer should be involved in some manner of soul winning. You may be not able to go and speak to people individually, but you can pray. You can invite, you can give out that gospel tract. Stability. Fruitfulness. Prosperity. That's what it says. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not speaking about the prosperity gospel where if it's taught that if you're saved and you're enough faith, you'll have plenty of money in the bank, a nice car in the drive, no health issues. That's nonsense. But I'm talking about the prosperity gospel of spiritual prosperity, because we are prosperous in the Lord. A man who is bringing forth spiritual fruit will be prosperous. In what way? Well, whenever he gets to heaven, the Lord will bless him richly with reward. You know, an ungodly man can amass a fortune of billions and lose his soul in hell. But even a little child can give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name and they will know an eternal reward. Who's greater in the eyes of the world? The billionaire or the little child? But whose work will last for eternity? Who will know true prosperity? Building for heaven. Finally, I want you to notice as we close, in verses 4-6, we have the contrast with the ungodly man. And when we think of passages like this, yes, we should say, I'm glad I'm the godly one. I'm glad I'm the Christian. I'm glad I love the Lord. But when we see the description of the ungodly and realize that's my family and your family, my friends, your friends, my neighbors, your neighbors, friend, this should spur us not only to be thankful we are saved, but to do something to seek to win them for Christ too. The godly and the ungodly are contrasted in life. In verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You see, instead of stability that the Christian has, there's now instability. Instead of fruitfulness, there's emptiness, nothing to offer God. Instead of prosperity, there is loss, because nothing that the ungodly have will go into eternity. I often wonder, how does a sinner go into difficulties, surgeries, treatments, face the hardships and the difficulties of life without a Savior? I don't understand it at all. I'm glad today that I'm saved and that I have Christ. Not only are they contrasted in life, they're contrasted in the judgment. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. It's talking here about wind. And the greatest wind that will ever blow will be the judgment of God. The Bible says the ungodly will not stand. That doesn't mean they'll not stand before God, but it does mean they'll not be able to stand with purpose. They'll not be able to stand with benefit. They'll not be able to stand with blessing. Notice that there is a division in the judgment. There's sinners and there's the righteous. Sometimes we get hung up on labels and titles and all those different things. But here's what it all boils down to. Is my loved one numbered among those who are righteous? Not because they're good, not because they're church, but because they have the righteousness of Christ given to all believers. Or are they sinners on their way to a lost eternity, having to stand before one? He will condemn them to hell. And then they're contrasted in their eternity. It says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows the way, the life of the righteous, not only in time, but in eternity. The Lord knows exactly what he has prepared for us. Tells us in Jeremiah 29, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. And that word thoughts can be translated plans. I know the plans I think are prepared for you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me. You shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. God's knowledge is not just a knowing what will happen, but it's a knowing what will happen along with the provision that he will give in every time of need. There's not one thing that I will face as a Christian that I will find my Savior lacking in. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. And that ought to thrill you today. You ought to be rejoicing. Are you anxious tonight? Remember, he knoweth the way that you take. He provide for every step. Look at that final statement, the way of the ungodly shall perish. How often we need to be reminded of this. How often we get so hard and callous, careless, tearless. We look at the ungodly and maybe see them as a hindrance, a problem, rather than as souls in need of a Saviour. Why did the Lord establish Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church? So there might be a gospel witness in this area. That souls might be saved through the preaching of the Word of God, whether it's through a Sunday school, whether it's through an open air, whether it's through a gospel meeting, whatever it is, this ought to be the vision of the church, because that is the commission God has given to the church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and God has sent you here. This is your place where you're to labor. And as we come to pray tonight, there are so many around here ungodly. They're on their way to a lost and perishing eternity. But we have the one who can draw them onto himself, who can lead them forth by the right way, who can guide them continually. And praise God, as we come to the end of this psalm, we can say, this God is our God. Forever and forever, he will be our guide, even unto death. And therefore, as we consider what God has given to us in his word and the promise of blessing, if we obey, should it not be our greatest delight, if the Lord spare and tarry, that we open our eyes tomorrow morning and reach for this book and open and say, Lord, what would you have to say to me today? He does lead his people. And may we know that leading not only personally, but as a congregation. In the days that lie ahead, that he will lead us in the need of the church at this hour. We're going to come to the place of prayer, and we encourage you.